Over in the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, if you'd like to turn there with me this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I just have one verse I want to read and think about with you this morning for a few minutes. The very last verse in Paul's epistle to Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 22. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. As far as I know, and as far as anyone knows, this is Paul's last epistle to anyone. It was his last word to this young man, to Timothy. He told us in this very chapter, he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was an old man and ready to die, and this seemingly was his last word. I think sometimes the word that a man speaks on his deathbed, especially if he's conscious of it and he's a wise man, honest man, it means something. It means something. The word of this man meant something when he made this statement here, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. These benedictions mean something when we read them in the Scriptures. Sometime as you read these epistles of the apostle, notice the benediction. Notice how he closes the epistle. He was right into the Corinthian church, and he had to rebuke that church severely. Wrote to that church in tears. And yet he closed that epistle this way. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Letting them know that he wrote to them as a father to do them good and not to hinder or hurt them. He wrote them a second letter. And he rebuked them again severely. And he closed that epistle this way. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Meant something. It meant something. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That meant something. Meant something to this young preacher. I love the way the Holy Spirit closes the book of God. The very last word that is spoken in the Bible is this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? It not only means something to these writers, but it meant something to the Lord. The last word, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you to save you, to protect you, to encourage you, to get you through this world of sin and devils, and bring you to heaven at last. What a way to close the 66th book of the Bible. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And I think this benediction here that the Apostle Paul was writing to his young friend that he called his son in the faith, I think this meant something to him when he said, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. What more could you and I want? What more could we need than for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, be with our spirits? What a divine comfort. I will not leave you comfortless. I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you destitute and lonely. I will come to you. I'll come to you and I'll comfort you. And what does he comfort? That essential part of us, our spirit. All of us have had pain in the flesh. All of us have suffered in the flesh. All of us have been sick in our bodies. But doesn't it take the edge off when the Lord Jesus Christ is with our spirits to comfort us? Of course it does. The essential part of us, He's with us. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ Himself be with thy spirit. What a divine comfort. What a divine strength. Paul said here in verses 16 and verse 17 of this very chapter, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Everybody forsook me when I stood to preach the gospel. And then he said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me. And what did he strengthen? My spirit. What does the Bible say about that? That he strengthens us with might by his spirit in the inner man. Until Satan gets your spirit down, he can't get you down. And when the Lord Jesus stands with your spirit, nobody can overcome you. Nobody can defeat you. The Lord Jesus be with thy spirit. What a divine companionship. No wonder those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when the Lord Jesus walked with them and opened their hearts to the Scripture, and they said, did not our hearts burn within us? While He talked with us, by the way, and opened to us the Scripture, our hearts burned when we heard His voice and He began to teach us. I love the way the Songs of Solomon close. Thou that dwelleth in thy gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice, cause me to hear it. Don't you love the voice of the shepherd? If you're a sheep, you love his voice because it's so comforting to you and it's so full of companionship. None of us have had a friend more delightful than a friend like this. None of us have had circumstances that brought more joy and satisfaction to our spirits. And none of us have had a prospect that filled us with such delightful anticipation as this friend when he comes to our spirits and walks with us and speaks to us. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And as he does that, as he manifests himself to our spirit, oh, what a joy, what companionship that is. I will not leave you alone. I'll come to you. What a divine encouragement this is. When you pass through the waters, what waters? Those deep waters. Those swift waters. Those muddy waters. Those waters that's full of creatures. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. What an encouragement that is. Fear not, he says, I am with you. And what an aspect of our being is he with? Our spirits. The Lord Jesus be with your spirits. Moses had died. Poor Joshua was left to bring the children of Israel into the land of promise. The rains had come. The Jordan River had flooded its banks, ran it off into the field. It was muddy and swift. And Moses said, Joshua, I'm going to die, and you're going to bring the children of Israel into the land of promise, and your first challenge is to get them across that river. And the Lord came to Joshua, and this is what he said. Be strong and of a good courage. I will be with thee. I was with Moses when he led my people out of Israel from the iron furnace, and I'll be with you when you lead them into the land of promise. How encouraging that is. I'll be with thee, and I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Well, Moses knew something about the presence of the Lord. The Lord told him to go up and against Amalek, against some mighty kings. And Moses said, Lord, I will, if you'll go with me. But if you don't go with me, if your presence goes not with us, don't lead me up there. Wasn't that what he said? He valued the presence of the Lord. He knew the battle was too heated. He knew the children of Israel were too weak. He knew his enemy was too strong. He said, don't lead me up unless you go with me. If you go with me, I'll go. Because the battle is sure then. The victory is won if you go with me. How encouraging, brothers and sisters, that is. And Paul was writing to Timothy here, and he said, endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The way can get hard, can't it? This way can get difficult. I used to get so upset with those people that kept talking about, it's fun being a Christian. They reminded me so much of Joel Osteen smiling. It's fun to be a Christian. It's fun to be a Christian. Haven't you found the way hard sometimes? Haven't you found the way difficult sometimes? Go tell a Marine when he's staying up all night watching for his fellow soldiers so the enemy won't invade him. When his eyes get heavy and he's fearful in his heart, and yet he has to stay awake. He has to watch. Tell that man, it's easy being a soldier. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's why he closed this epistle this way. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. But you can do it if he's with you. That's encouraging, isn't it? There was a time when you and I put no value upon the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we put no value upon His presence is because we were dead in sins. Our spirits were dead. We were dead to Him. And He came to us by His gospel and quickened us. He gave our spirits life. His life. I give unto them eternal life. And now we can say with David, Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. We never knew what it was to live till he gave us life, did we? We never knew what it was to rejoice in our spirits until he gave our spirits life. Moses wouldn't go up on the mount to approach God, and he would not go approach the enemy to fight him without this presence. And neither can you, and neither can I. Now we know what Paul's meaning was when he said, the Lord stood with me, and the Lord strengthened me. We've experienced that, haven't we? Now we know. What more do we want? What more do we need than the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with our spirits? Well, we're living in a trying time, aren't we? We're living in a trying time. And you know the way we can get through it? With a measure of joy and with peace and assurance. You know how we can face this life, this trying day? With His presence. His presence with our spirit. That's the way the children of God have always faced their living. That's the way Timothy and Paul faced it. That's the way we can face it. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Then when you lose your child. Then when you lose your mate. Then when you lose your job. Then when you lose your financial ability to get along comfortably in this world. Then when you lose your health. Then when you lose your friends. Then when you've lost everything else and nobody stands with you, you can say this, the Lord stood with me and He strengthened me. Without Him, we can't face the loss of one breath. But with Him, we can face the loss of the world and even this universe. When trouble used to come to the church there in Germany, Martin Luther always turned to Psalms chapter 46 and read it to his congregation. Here's just a portion of what that psalm says. God is our refuge and He is our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed. What would that look like? And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. And we can say that this morning, can we not? Brothers and sisters, I can say this with all confidence. God is in the midst. Our redeeming God is in the midst of this little congregation. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He's here with our spirits. Therefore, since God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, for God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Salah. No wonder Luther read that and preached on that so often to his congregation. Well, it means a lot then, doesn't it? The encouragement, the divine companionship, the strength, the comfort from this one little benediction. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. This verse gives us a peek into that mystery that the Scripture sets forth so clearly, and that's the divinity, the deity of Jesus Christ the Lord. The Son of God. He is truly divine, isn't He? And this don't set forth that doctrine in so much developing it, but it's here. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit and your spirit and your spirit and everybody's spirit that belongs to Him. I call you on the telephone and you're in trouble, and what do I say? My prayers are with you. My thoughts are with you. But I'm not with you. We're limited. We occupy this small space and this small time, don't we? But there is one that occupies every space of time. There is one that is everywhere all at once. Do not I feel the heavens and the earth, saith the Lord? Who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, He's everywhere. He told the early church, He said, I'm with you always. And as those disciples and the members of that church left Jerusalem finally and went all over Asia and Africa and Spain and Europe preaching the gospel, each one of them could take this as personal assurance. He's with me. I am with you no matter where you go. I can see some of those apostles and those disciples as they went, and finally they would meet up years later. Where have you been? Oh, I've been to Europe. Where have you been? Oh, I've been to Spain. Was the Lord Jesus with you every step of the way? Was He with you every step of the way? How could that be? He's God. He's omnipresent. He is what the angels are not. He's everywhere. He fills all space of time. He's geographically everywhere, isn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. The reason you and I believe alike this morning when we talk about Christ, the reason we sing about the same Christ. Did you ever notice the ladies that come to sing? They sing about the same Christ. When I get up to preach, I preach the same Christ you believe in. Why is that? Because that Christ dwells in us. He's in each one of us. We know Him, don't we? Because He's in us and with our spirits. Oh, Jesus Christ, He's the omnipresent God. He's the second person of the sacred Trinity. There's God the Father, and there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. What a mystery this is. And that's who our Lord Jesus Christ is. Don't this verse tell us something about what it is to be saved? The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. We used to think that being saved was just a bunch of do's and don'ts. All through my teenage years, I thought, all Christianity is, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. You do a bunch of stuff and you don't do a bunch of stuff. That's what I was taught. That's what I believed by nature. And then I found out different. To be saved means you're delivered from a state of spiritual death and darkness and translated into a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom. That's what it is to be saved. You're raised spiritually and you're made to sit in heavenly places. Heavenly places. In Jesus Christ. This is the problem with the world. The problem with the world is not that it's not religious. The problem with the world is it's dead in trespasses and sins, and it needs to be translated from that state and put in a spiritual kingdom. What is it to be saved? It means we worship now in spirit. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. We serve God in the spirit of the gospel. With my spirit. There's no other way to serve Him or worship Him or know Him. This is why sometimes it's difficult to discern if we're really in this spiritual kingdom. Because you can't see it. If being saved is just a matter of a bunch of do's and don'ts, okay, I can discern that. I've quit doing a lot of things and I've started doing good things, so I must be saved. But it's more difficult when you realize it's being in a spiritual kingdom. You're in it and it's in you and it's a new life and it's mainly a spiritual life. Sometimes we read in the Old Testament about this spiritual warfare. The Old Testament saints said a lot about it as well as the New Testament saints. Listen how David described it. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, the hands of my spirit. We're alive spiritually. It's like there's a body in us, a spiritual body, and He has these faculties. He's got ears, but they're spiritual ears. He's got hands that He stretches forth to embrace the Lord Jesus. He has feet that runs to Christ and follows Christ. But He's a spiritual man. That's why you feel so deeply. When the Lord saves you, you begin to feel deeply because it affects your spirit. You're in a spiritual kingdom. David said, I commune with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Don't you ever have experiences? I know you do. If you're in this spiritual kingdom, where your spirit seeks the Lord. It's not so much with your mouth. It's with your spirit. Your spirit is reaching out to the Lord, seeking Him. When Jonah was in that whale's belly, he was at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. He couldn't see anything. He was just among all of these guts of that whale. It was dark. And yet he said, I will look again to thy holy temple. What was he talking about? What was he looking with? His spiritual eyes. He was reaching out with his spirit to the Lord to be delivered. It's not always easy to discern, therefore, that I'm saved. But boy, when we do discern it, when we do find it out, what a joy it is. Oh, I'm in this kingdom. Do you seek the Lord Jesus with your spirit? Is it your spirit that loves Him and communes with Him and receives strength from Him and grace from Him? Yes, it is. With my spirit within me, I made diligent search. It's our spirit's looking, isn't it? We can't see Christ. He's in heaven. Spiritually, He's in heaven. Or physically, He's in heaven. Spiritually, He's within us. But we see Him. We search for Him. We look to Him with our spirits. But not only do we look to Him, but listen, He looks to us. He looks to us. Not to receive anything from us as we do from Him, but He looks to us for another reason. Listen to Isaiah 66:2. To this man will I look, saith the Lord, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, and he trembles at my word. Why would the Lord look to such a poor man? Such a contrite spirit. Why would he look to it? He has to look to it to uphold it, to encourage it, to revive it. Because He knows nobody else can. When He gives your spirit life, He has to be with that spirit to uphold it and keep it, or it'll faint. And the Lord knows nobody else can do that. Listen to this passage. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. What a way to describe oneself. High. And lofty. And one who inhabits eternity. If I asked you to describe yourself, I wonder what you'd say about yourself. But when the Lord describes Himself, man, how He describes Himself. Lord, what are you like? Oh, I'm high. I'm higher than the heavens is above the earth. I'm lofty. I'm above you in every way. I inhabit eternity. And my name is holy. And listen to this. I dwell in that high and holy place with Him that is of a humble spirit, a contrite and humble spirit. I dwell with Him. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Why? To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contract ones. Jesus looks to your spirit to revive it, to strengthen it, to encourage it, to comfort it. If he don't, you'll faint. You'll faint because nobody else can do it. Devils hate your spirit. Men hate your spirit. The world hates it. But He loves it. And He's with it. The Lord is with them that are of a broken heart. and he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. There's a time when you didn't even know you had a spirit. Ain't that amazing? You didn't even know it, did you? Lost men live without awareness that they even have a soul. They just live to the flesh, live to the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, not even aware that they have a precious soul until the Lord Jesus gives them life. And then what's their comfort? His presence. His presence. That's their comfort. And if the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest comfort and joy of our spirits, the loss of His presence would be the greatest discomfort and grief. You know what I think the torments of hell is? Jesus is not there. Jesus is not there. I sometimes wish the Holy Spirit would have been pleased to write this like this. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. And I wish he would have said, Jesus is not here. Men can live without Him now. Men hate Him now. But wait till they've lost Him. Wait until He casts them into darkness away from His presence. There is no joy. There's no peace in this life. It's a trouble life. The wicked are like the troubled sea that casts up dirt and mire. Why? Because they are without the Son of God. He's not with their spirits. And that's a hell. That's why this world is miserable. That's why it lives in fear all day long. That's why it has no comfort. The Lord said, I'm going to pray the Father, and He's going to give you another comforter whom the world cannot receive because it knows Him not. But you know Him. He is with you and shall be in you. And that's your comfort, isn't it? And you take that away and you're miserable. You're miserable. And this is why the world can live without Him. It don't know Him. It don't know the blessed Son of God. Who are you and I that we should have the company of such a King, such a Sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this not freedom from every earthly want? The Lord Jesus be with your spirit? Is this not freedom from every form of sinful covetousness? We want this and we want that and we're just not satisfied. We're making all kinds of money, but it's not enough. We love to travel, but we never are content with seeing places. We got all the toys, but it don't satisfy us. There's but one thing that will make the heart content and satisfied, and that's this presence of Jesus Christ with your spirit. Be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee. Oh, that's contentment, is it not? My dear old neighbor friend, Tanya's mother. We're talking about some people one time. They never were satisfied. They just bought one toy and one toy and another toy, this toy. And friend said, here's their problem. They're not satisfied with Christ. They're not content with Christ. Oh, He's comfort. He's contentment, isn't He? That's lasting contentment, Jesus Christ. Where a man's heart is, there is his treasure. And where his treasure is, there is his heart. And if Jesus Christ is your treasure, then you're content. You're content. In Him dwells all the fullness of what? Everything. that would make the heart and spirit content and satisfy the soul. One more thing, and we'll close. This spiritual presence of our Lord is not just comforting and encouraging and so on, but it's vital in another way. When we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, we're not talking about something that's optional. This is vital, isn't it? Because if the Lord Jesus Christ is not personally with your spirit, then you're not His. You're not His. Paul said the Spirit of Christ bears witness to our spirit that we're children of God. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. Even the elect of God, before they are called and regenerated and given this new life, they have no right or reason to believe that they belong to Christ. Not by His redeeming love and presence. This is vital. Oh, this is so vital. Some tell us you can be saved and have not Christ abiding within your heart. Because they tell us you can be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. To have Christ and to have the Spirit is the same. They say you're saved, or something happens to you and you receive the Spirit later. You receive Christ later? Saved without Christ? Well, if you don't have the Spirit, you're none of His. You're just none of His. We can't know anything savingly of God without the Holy Spirit, can we? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it's not entered into the hearts of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, but He hath revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We can't know anything spiritually, savingly, apart from His Spirit. It's vital. It's vital that Christ be with our spirit. And it's vital for this reason. If Christ dwells in you, that's your assurance of a resurrection. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also raise up your body from the dead. That's vital, isn't it? Oh, it's vital. The Lord Jesus said of His own body, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And what He said of Himself, He says of these temples in which He dwells, let it die. Let it go back to the dust, and I'll raise it again. Make it a glorious body. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Wonderful passage, isn't it? Wonderful passage. God bless it to all our hearts. Let's sing that old hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds. Can somebody give me the number of that?